This is the Power 5 with Kali Warren Sharp.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Power 5. We discuss the top five teams in the NBA. Kali Warren Sharp of the Baseline NBA Podcast. And we'd like to welcome you and yours post-MLK. Man, what can we say? We had a dream that the two top teams in the NBA would give us a game for the ages. And unfortunately, that was not the dream. That was more so the nightmare. But we got a lot to discuss, more so about the teams that we think are going to be the best in the NBA so far, up and coming post the MLK. So you know I'm rolling out the red carpet with my right-hand man, 50 grand NBA aficionado, my brother from another mother, Mr. Warren Sharp from www.sharpsports.net. Big Kahuna and PNC. What's good, Mr. Sharp?
Everything's good, man. This has been a great, great week of basketball already, and we're only in the beginning of the week, so lots to discuss as we had to jump in here. So nice way to do it twice, dropping this Power 5, and a lot of great actions to get to in the NBA, brother.
Definitely, man. And listen, kudos again to the NBA doing MLK Day properly, doing it justice, and also kudos to the NBA players. I'm sure that with a lot of them, the circumstances could have prevented us from seeing a lot of the marquee players showing up on primetime, but they understand the magnitude and the reasoning behind celebrating the holiday and the legacy of Martin Luther King, but more importantly, the NBA's commitment towards doing that. So I'm appreciative of the fact that we did get some quality basketball being played, and it started all day long, Shaw, ended off with a big bang with the Golden State Warriors just straight up thumping the Cleveland Cavaliers on their home court. And to me, just another impressive showing of why we always have the Warriors and the Cavaliers essentially as the top teams in the NBA, bro.
It is absolutely true. And you see that, you know, you got me and now I get you back type of thing going on with the Warriors and Cavs. This Golden State team was rearing to go lit them up in that first half. What was it, like 70 points, 72 points? Something
they dropped 78 in the first half, man. It was just
no sense. And they're out there clowning around, shooting threes, throwing alleys. It was just everything you could have wanted from that. The Golden State
throwing
Warriors.
Throwing clotheslines.
Yeah, you know. Yeah,
body in the king.
Yeah, you know, a little trippage and a little flailing around as well, too. But again, that was peak Warriors. I think that's a term that we saw, you know, throughout Twitter last night. It's like when you want to know how good this team can be, look at that first half, because they were absolutely magnificent and played flawless basketball.
Definitely. And one of the things that I thought really stood out was the comments that were said by the players leading up to this this game, this matchup. Listen, let's not take anything away from the fact that this was a regular season game, okay? This is not the NBA Finals. It's not game 6 or 7. There's not a whole lot that's completely at stake. But I did say that this was an important game for the Golden State Warriors, and I think it was important for the Warriors to make this statement on their home court with a Cleveland Cavaliers team that has basically bested them for five games in a row, I believe it is, since the NBA Finals. So, I'm sorry, 4 games in a row since the NBA Finals. So, ultimately, something needed to be done. A statement had to be made. The fact that LeBron James has not called this a rivalry, I was really curious to get your thoughts and perspective from it, Shaw, because to me, what I saw in that basketball game didn't feel like they thought it was a rivalry.
Right. There's some great comments on that specific comment throughout. You know, I think the NBA atmosphere, if you will, lots of people have had their conversation about it. And I think the overwhelming majority feel like, you know, he's bullshitting. There's no way that this is not a rivalry. You know, this is just something he wanted to say. And I think one podcast, I think it was the SI Open Break podcast, was saying something to the effect that he's trying to kind of downplay the Warriors, if you will, to not give them anything, any more credit than he has to.
I really think that he doesn't. I really think he does not respect the Warriors as much as the hype is allowing the situation to serve. In other words, you think back to all of the things that have happened even leading up to the Christmas Day game with the cupcakes on Halloween and the tombstone and the 3-1 lead and all of these little nuggets of things. You could call it gamesmanship all you want to, but I personally believe that there is a lack of respect there by LeBron James, and maybe it's well deserved because of the fact that he climbed the mountaintop doing the impossible. But I really think that it is definitely gotten under the skin of the Golden State Warriors, and they're the type of team that I really think that want to take it so personal that they want to bludgeon the Cleveland Cavaliers every time that they see him.
Well, the Warriors are very honest about it. I think Klay Thompson was very honest about it. Draymond Green's been very honest about it in terms of they know what it is. They want to beat them. There's no two ways about it. And while LeBron, being a leader of that team, can kind of say all these things, I think he might be playing mind games with them. So even that back to Halloween and doing all those things, he's just kind of, you know, he's kind of belittling them. And I don't know if it's a lack of respect where he doesn't think that they're good, or he doesn't, you know, doesn't think that they can't match up. I guess that would be the better way of saying it. I just feel like he's trying to play some mind games with them because he knows, in fact, that they are good and they can give them problems. And I think he's trying to get a little one-up on them from the mentality standpoint.
Definitely. All right, so let's go ahead, Shaw. We've got a lot of things that we still need to get into conversations before we drop our Power Five. But to you and yours, we appreciate everyone listening in to the Baseline NBA podcast and also the Power Five. Be sure to get at my man Shaw at Shaw Sports or get at me at Game Face Lee and the show's Twitter handle at NBA Baseline, the Power Five, where we give you the top five teams in the NBA. We'll definitely give you that in a little bit. But breaking news has already hit the wire, and so we are here to discuss it. There's been reports that Chris Paul is expected to have surgery on a torn ligament in his thumb. He is now out 6 to 8 weeks. Shaw, I feel like we have relived this story time and time again when it comes to the Los Angeles Clippers. More importantly, their big three, whether it be Blake Griffin or Chris Paul, always a significant injury and always a significant amount of time on the sideline.
I mean, you said it best. I think we've had this conversation over and over and over again. Even beginning of the year when we said, all right, this team looks like they're going to be world beaters. They might have a chance. And they went on a slide, lost their defense a little bit. But we're saying, what's going to happen to the Clippers this year? You know something always happens. And again, now it's both of those guys, again, Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, going down. Griffin is due back, I guess, within a couple weeks perhaps. Chris Paul is going to be out to at least March. Should be back right in time for the playoffs. Going to take a couple games to get back into step. But missing all that time and trying to regain that chemistry right before the playoffs is going to be a little bit, you know, tedious for them. And this really puts that arrow through the heart, if you will, of this Clippers team and really trying to get over the hump finally in this Western Conference. I'm not saying they're down and out, but it just goes to show you, like, this team really is snake bitten. And I don't know what to say about it because this team, like I said, they have all the pieces. They have a good coach. They have an owner that's willing to spend money. Finally have a decent bench again, and they just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, it's so sad, man. It's really sad. But I think the most important question from this is this it for them, Shaw? If you are Doc Rivers, who is the GM, the president of basketball operations, you're the Clippers fans, and you basically are going to see again another season possibly go by the wayside. I know that he should be back by the time that we get closer to the playoffs, but nonetheless, this reoccurring story and situation doesn't lend confidence that this is a basketball team that's even going to be able to get out of the Western Conference. Forget even a Western Conference. They might even get out of the first round of the playoffs just simply because of the snake-bitten luck that they're enduring. Does something have to be done to finally break this team up, or do we go back to the same excuse because of injuries? We've never been able to see the true potential of this basketball team.
Listen, I don't know if Steve Ballmer and Doc Rivers are drinkers, but if they're not, they may want to start, you know, looking at some bottles to throw down and wash down their sorrows. This team is, to me, I feel like it's toast. Like, they just can't get over the hump. Something is always going to happen to them. And yeah, they're going to play it out. And, you know, if they end up falling in the seedings, if you will, in the Western Conference, and they end up being a 5 or 6 seed because Chris Paul misses so much time and Blake Griffin, if anything happens, and God knows if any other injuries happens to this roster, then they get healthy right before the playoffs. They're going to be a scary out. They're not going to be a pushover, if you will. But who really has the confidence right now, seeing all the things that continue to happen to this roster, that they can really do anything other than get into the playoffs and then gracefully bow out at some point? And then following that, it kind of has to be the last ride. We've talked about this since last year. We thought they maybe should have finished it all up last summer. But again, with Blake under contract for one more year, Chris Paul under contract one more year, you might as well play this string out. And maybe you get lucky and make something happen. But I'm very frightful for this Clippers team. And it's going to probably start them very, very quickly. You're going to start to hear some names come up in the trade rumors out
there.
Well,
speaking of names coming up in the trade rumors, how about in Minnesota? Ricky Rubio's name has now been finally thrown out in the hat. And it sounds like his days as a Timberwolf might be numbered. What more can we say about that, Shaw? And can this be a possible correlation to him maybe making destinations to Los Angeles, to La La Land?
Well, it's in a very interesting, I think, timing from the Minnesota Timberwolves, where the trade talk kind of had died down, but maybe it's not so interesting now that I'm talking it out with you, my dude, because Rubio's been playing a lot better over the last five or six games, you know, had 16 assists, I think it was the other night. You know, as we're recording, playing a nice game right now against the San Antonio Spurs, value is back up to where they feel like they may be able to get something. And you know what? They're like, let me strike while the iron is hot. And to answer your question regarding the Clippers, listen, if anybody saw the Wojo story where this rumor was first reported, saying the Timberwolves want a crossover guard, if you will, someone that can lead them in the interim time but kind of groom Chris Dunn and not be mad when Chris Dunn's ready to take over the helm. And my boy here, Cowboy Lee, he put it out there very, very poignantly. The Clippers would be an interesting fit for Rubio because obviously the Clippers can use a point guard. Rubio would be amazing for that roster. But Raymond Felton coming back to the Minnesota Timberwolves would be the exact crossover kind of guard they need. Someone who can play it right now and very easily get out of the way and go and fade to black if you want a backup role behind Chris Dunn. It's going to take more than Raymond Felton to get Ricky Rubio to the LA Clippers. Clippers are going to have to, you know, put some sort of package together. I don't know if you have to get a third team involved or whatever, but it is an intriguing thing. And Wojo also mentioned that the Sacramento Kings would be interested in Rubio, but Kings don't have any ducats that the Timberwolves really want. So, you know, that's something to consider, but it is a very interesting way to think about things.
Well, we have to definitely keep our eye out for this as it continues to move further along. What will possibly happen to Ricky Rubio? But to your point and to our previous show, Shaw, you know, trade season has opened up. And this is another name in the hat where he might not be a significant name, but he could be a significant player, especially when you look at some of these other possible playoff contending teams who are lacking depth and who are lacking play creators as equally as they are looking for playmakers. Cal Lee, Warren Shaw of the Baseline NBA podcast. This is the Power Five. A couple of other important news and notes happening in the NBA. And let's dial this back, man. The New York Knicks drama further continues, Shaw. And there's been word that Carmelo Anthony and Phil Jackson have sat down and have had words. And according to ESPN reports, their quote-unquote meeting of the minds seems to be more contentious than ever before. Do you think that it really has been time for Carmelo Anthony to basically say, I'm waiving a no-trade clause, do what you got to do, and get me up out of here?
I think it's time for him if, you know, he really wants to win a championship. But he really wants to win a championship in New York. And like we said on a previous show, he wants to do it his way. You know, I guess maybe that's fitting him being New York, Frank Sinatra and all. But this roster isn't built to win with him. And he can't be the primary guy. And I don't doubt his will and wantingness to win. I just doubt how he wants to go about getting there. And for me, him not wanting to waive his no trade clause, especially right now in the middle of the season, just goes back to what we said on a previous show. He's got so much vested in the city of New York outside of even just basketball. You know, his kids, he's got all kinds of philanthropic work he's doing out there as well, too. So with him having the power, why would he give that up midseason and uproot everybody in the middle of the season when he's got to be playing? If he's going to do it, and I still doubt that he will in terms of giving up his no trade clause, it would be over the summer, where he has more time, where he can, you know, put things in order and not have to do this uprooting of his family and his life in the middle of the season.
Yeah, look, as far as I'm concerned, I want to feel bad for Carmelo, but I really don't. And I want to feel bad for Phil Jackson, but I won't. As far as I'm concerned, these are two stubborn old mules in which somebody needs to kick them both off the mountain. And ultimately, I think if you're Carmelo Anthony, you got to stop believing that you're going to win a championship for the New York Knicks. Because it's not going to happen. And if you're Phil Jackson, you got to stop believing that you're going to try and win a championship doing it your way, especially since all of the moves that you've made, minus Kristaps Porzingis, has not worked out. Either be all in or be all out. But either way, the Knicks fans and the Knicks organization are the ones suffering from both of these two over-the-top ego dynamics. And I'm not saying it to belittle these guys. I'm not saying it to, as my word would be used, besmirch their reputations. But the problem is that their reputations is what's hurting the progression of this basketball team. You have a young phenom in Kristaps Porzingis, and you've got two veteran players who came over with the sole intent to help this become a playoff contending basketball team. And basically, everybody's perception and everyone's mindset about how to go and win basketball games is what's leading to what we've seen. You losing 10 out of 11 games, or I believe it's 11 out of 13 basketball games, and this team just basically spiraling out of control. Now you have to start thinking about the preservation of this organization. And I think if you're Phil Jackson, you need to figure out how to salvage the organization. Because if a player like Kristaps Porzingis expects to contend and play under these conditions, you are sorely mistaken. And he will be the first one that will be looking to get out the door when the opportunity presents itself, because I know people are not going to be coming to play for Phil Jackson, or coming to play for Jeff Hornacek, or coming to play for Joakim Noah, or coming to play for a maligned Derrick Rose. And no one's made any commitments about wanting to come play for Carmelo Anthony as a New York Knick anyway. So something needs to be done.
But how does he fix it? If he's the one who gave Melo the no trade clause, Melo is not coming off that. So at the end of the day, is he continuing trying to do what he's doing, going through the back channels, if you will, by dissing Carmelo and his friends' articles, or coming out to the press and saying all these negative things about him?
You move everybody else. You move everybody else. And you basically have Carmelo say, look, for the next 2-3 years, this is what you're going to work with. You're going to be working with a Kristaps Porzingis and a couple of young guys. That's what you do. Because now Carmelo is going to really read the writing on the wall and is like, I got to go. I have to leave. I cannot stay here. We're not going to win. We may not even make the playoffs. You're not even going to make the playoffs with Derrick Rose or Joakim Noah.
It's a gamble, but then you'd risk pissing off Kristaps one or the other, who's like, all right, well, you know, this is a bad situation, but you've definitely made it worse. You know, unless you're talking to him on the back channels as well, too. Like, listen, we're trying to get this, and then you're pitting players against each other. There's all kinds of drama, and trust me, Phil Jackson's not above it. But it would be a very interesting way to go for the Knicks if they were trying to completely rebuild and let Porzingis kind of stay there to be the centerpiece of that process.
Definitely. Look. You know how I feel about this, Shaw. What did you say? It was my igneous commentation about the New York Knicks. And I'm not saying that anything is simplified. They have more than complicated this situation. But if you're expecting there to be a move made, because let's also keep in mind one thing too, Shaw, before we quickly move on to our Power Five. The one thing that really takes precedence is that because of what Phil Jackson has done in the media and the comments that he's made, he has not lent himself to be favorable in anything regarding transactions and trades for this upcoming season. If Carmelo's saying, well, I'll go play for the Cavaliers, I'll go play for the Clippers, Phil Jackson did not help himself any by making the kind of comments that he made to LeBron James. He can't now suddenly renege on those type of comments just because Carmelo Anthony is willing to waive the no trade clause if there's an expectation to trade him to play with his favorite, you know, with his boys. So to me, his posse, his crew, you know what I'm saying? His clique, you know what I'm saying? Because the first thing that's going to happen is put some respect on my name. And Phil Jackson is old school and he's not going to do it. So ultimately, the only way to break up the party is you're going to have to bust a move. And I don't mean that in a Young MC reference. I'm saying he's going to have to bust up this team and basically force Carmelo to make the decision on his own to waive the clause so that he can find himself somewhere else to go. And ultimately, which I'm thinking should be the goal for him at this point in his career, is to go win an NBA championship. All right, Shaw, we've gotten all of the good stuff out of the way. You know what time it is right now. Time for us to dig in to the Power Five. All right, this is the Power Five, the top five teams in the NBA, according to the Baseline NBA podcast. Shaw, you ready to rock and roll?
Absolutely, man.
Number five.
All right, in at number five, still hanging tight, rolling with those guys up in the north, Jurassic World, the Toronto Raptors.
What can you say about this roster, man? This DeRozan and Kyle Lowry still doing it big still. I see what they say this every week. They have no power forward. Might as well have me and you run around.
They've got Patrick Patterson, man. Patterson.
Never mind. There's a joke in there, but we're going to go ahead and let that one breathe on it. But yes, again, the Raptors continue to play great basketball. Very, very much on their heels is the Boston Celtics, but they handled business and came back against them, you know, a week or so ago. DeMar DeRozan is one of the great closers, I think, at the guard position right now. He's lethal from that mid-range. Gets to sweep the line on a regular basis. Valanciunas is starting to gear things back up a little bit now. Crashing the glass, getting his touches on the inside as well, too. This team just continues to hop.
Yeah, man. This is a team that, again, steady as they go. Coach Casey got these guys playing the right kind of basketball. They're winning the games that they need to win. Now, while the Boston Celtics have closed the gap in the Atlantic Division, very little can argue that the only team right now that looks like they can even make a push up against the brick wall that is the Cleveland Cavaliers would be a team that's like the that would be considered or called the Toronto Raptors.
Number four.
All right, the number four team in our Power Five. Wow, I can't believe that I'm saying this, but it has finally taken precedence. The San Antonio Spurs dropped down a spot, Shaw. Why do we drop the San Antonio Spurs? Are they not the third best team in the NBA?
I still think they are, you know, by all intents and purposes. But a little bit of slippage here and there, you know, and lost a little bit of intensity. A tough loss against the Phoenix Suns out in Mexico City. You know, we knocked them down just a little bit again. You know, the Spurs team is still going to be right there and going to be in the thick of things no matter what. But they're starting to have that slippage in terms of Tony Parker kind of regressed, you know, over the last week or so where he was playing at a very high level. He started to fall back to the pack. Same thing with Gasol. Even same thing with Aldridge. Leonard has been really the only consistent guy who's going out there and doing it on every single night. And, you know, that's why we kind of dropped them down a little bit. Only because their overall play has slipped just a tad bit, but they're going to be probably right back up in the mix next week.
The San Antonio Spurs are going to be a solid basketball team. It doesn't take much for Greg Popovich to demand that these guys play to the level that they're capable of. Right now, they're in a tough run. I mean, the Houston Rockets are in their division right now and are basically hanging with them in that division, which I think is exactly the reason why you're going to expect to see Greg Popovich really put the clamps down and get these guys to play the kind of basketball that they're capable of playing, be much more defensively sound, and ultimately continue to position themselves to be one of the top seeded teams in the Western Conference. So I have no doubts. I do question a little bit of the roster and whether or not there's going to be a move made at the trade deadline to help really deepen this team, maybe help out a little bit from an athleticism perspective. But there's no question, this is one of the better teams in the NBA and still is where they are supposed to be.
Number three.
The number three team. I can't believe that we can't shake them loose, Shaw. The Houston Rockets. And listen, MVP-like season with James Harden and the cast of misfits along with Mike D'Antoni, possible coach of the year. What more can be said, man? This is a Houston Rockets team that's not to be messed with.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, as we record the show, they just took an L, so, you know, maybe we have to reevaluate at some point, too, but this Rockets team has been playing on all cylinders.
Those seem so few and far between these days with them, though, right?
Absolutely, absolutely, and but Harden, you know, again, I think, what's he up to, 13 triple-doubles, I think it is, I think Westbrook's at 20 or something like that. I've lost count. These two guys are just immense and just playing great basketball, but you're right, Harden right now is the MVP. They continue to play great basketball. They just got Clint Capella back into the fold. So hopefully you see this roster team continue to get healthy, stay healthy rather, and do the things they've been doing in the Western Conference all season long.
Number two.
No doubt. The number two team in the Power Five, Shaw. Well, we had them as number one not too long ago. My, how quickly the mighty have fallen. The Cleveland Cavaliers. But I think after last night between the Cavaliers and a couple of other really kind of questionable losses, it would be hard-pressed for us to continue to keep the Cavs as the number one team in the NBA.
Yeah, what it boils down to, they're on a tough road trip. You know, I think a lot of people are trying to, not making excuses for them, but it was whatever it was, the fifth game of the West Coast road trip, the final game of that trip for them, and then heading back east finally to go back to the confines of Cleveland, if you will. And, you know, it's tough for any team, even elite teams, to go and go out on the road up there and really dominate. But yeah, when you get drubbed, you know, like they did against the Golden State Warriors, it was hard to watch.
Beat down of biblical proportions.
People running out of the house, you know, with all the threes that were following and LeBron falling down. People were running around. They couldn't believe the plays that the Warriors were making. And to me, that's why you just got to drop them down just for this week.
Just for this week. Who knows? You know, maybe the Golden State Warriors will mess around and do something foolish and lose a basketball game here and there and allow the Cavaliers to assume the number one spot. Because why not, right? The Warriors need motivation. And what better motivation did they have than basically LeBron James claiming that the Warriors and the Cavaliers are not a rivalry. Probably part of the reason why the Warriors made sure that in their house, they were gonna beat the living breaks off of the Cleveland Cavaliers, which is, I think, what's helped them become the number one team.
Number one.
Yes, and our Power Five, the best team, the Golden State Warriors, top dog, what more can be said? Listen, they took this game to heart. They made sure that they made a statement, and they ultimately made a statement to the rest of the NBA that if they are playing the basketball that they are capable of playing, damn near nobody, not even the old Boston Celtics in the 1900s, Not even the Lakers of Showtime is going to be able to run with this Golden State Warriors team. That's basically how they were acting. Yeah, the 1900s.
All right. Well, no doubt. I think they showed everything that they could be, as we said a little bit earlier in the show. They were playing defense. They were shooting threes. They were assisting. They were blocking shots. Everything came together for them. And if they can play games like that and they're that focused, they are a machine and they are impossible to beat. Again, I don't know that they can play at that type of level the entire game. As you saw, they fell off after halftime, after coming out with all that energy. They started getting a little, you know, loosey-goosey, if you will, and turning the ball over. And Curry, I think he was trying to, you know, I think one tweet had said they were trying to erase the 3-1 deficit all in one half, if you will. But this Warriors team is still, to me, the best team in basketball on paper and in real life on the floor. And again, that's why we have them as number one.
You can throw out all the statistics that you want to, but when you watch these guys play for one quarter, maybe even a half of basketball, and you drop 78 points against whoever the opposition is, you can just only hope and pray that the opposition is somewhere within 10 or 15 points, which is considered striking distance. Because ultimately what this comes down to is if they can spend that much time scoring the basketball while still keeping another basketball team somewhere around the 40s, mid-40s, not even the 50s, it means that they are playing the kind of defense that will make them basically the most impossible team to take on, bars none. But so ultimately, they are riding on a high right now, I'm sure, and it's justifiably so. Because when you beat a team like this, got even Martin Luther King singing praises and hallelujah from the mountaintops, that just lends you to know who should really be the top team in our Power Five. Another excellent show, Shaw, once again. Of course, bringing it like always, man. And hey, what more can be said, man? This is the great, great, great time right now. NBA basketball, a lot of stuff happening even before we roll right up into NBA All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, the news isn't stopping. I think it's just going to get more hot and heavy in these coming weeks. Again, as we said a couple weeks ago, trade season has officially opened. Everybody, for the most part, can be moved after the January 15th deadline, following the December 15th deadline earlier. Now you're really going to see these talks really heat up as we head into All-Star as well. So we're going to have some great content coming out. Make sure you're stay tuned with us. Make sure you're liking our posts. Make sure you're hitting us up and rating us on iTunes and Stitcher and all those media outlets, man. We need love. We love the love. And we love you guys back, man.
Most definitely. Be sure to check out the Baseline NBA podcast, now also showing, also simulcasting through 16 Wins a Ring.
Brand 16.
New 16. Throw them up. The 1-6s. Brand new website. Great content discussing and covering all of the topics in the NBA. Also catch us through NBA Lead. Go to www.nbalead.com for all your video digital content. We are all over the place, and we're covering the NBA as only we should. For the Power Five, Cali, Warren Shaw, we appreciate you guys. Be sure to check out the next episode of the Baseline NBA podcast. And until then, we'll catch up with you next time.